The Greymoor Friars Monastery is located on Atonement Mountain, near Garrison, New York. Adjacent to this famous monastery, one sees St. Christopher's Inn. Homeless men from all walks of life come to this famous inn. These men are fed and sheltered by the Greymoor Friars, and no distinction is ever made of race, creed, or color. You are invited to listen to another chapter of the dramatized story, The Life of Christ, brought to you transcribed each week by the Greymoor Friars, who offer this new series in the devout belief that the retelling of his tragedy and triumph will reawaken and strengthen your faith in and love of Christ. Now, Chapter 13, The Charge of Beelzebub.
Blind the heart of this people, and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them.
When Jesus completed his tour of the towns and villages of Galilee, he returned, as was his custom, to Capernaum. And the multitudes came to his house, so that he and his disciples could not so much as eat bread. But while he had been away, the delegation from Jerusalem had been busy collecting evidence, which they might use to destroy him.
Abner, it's most considerate of you to let me come here and be your assistant in this investigation. It's a great opportunity, and every scribe in Jerusalem envies me.
I picked you because you are young and alert. Now, have you finished the bill of particulars? Have you?
Yes. Here's the record of what Jesus said on the mountain the other morning. The many witnesses vary only in details. In the main, they all agree he said these things.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Another dangerous doctrine.
But a very clever one, if a man wants to build up a following, since most of the people he preaches to are poor.
But not in spirit. I wouldn't rely on their meekness either.
But can't we charge him?
Well, when you sum it up, very little. Outside of curing on the Sabbath, plucking grain, etc.
Did he not blaspheme when he cured the palsied man? When he said, thy sins are forgiven thee?
Technically, no. He came close, perhaps. But notice the wording. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Not, I, Jesus, forgive thee thy sins. Furthermore, he at once shifted his position and told the palsied man to take his pallet and walk.
But he did say this, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin.
But even so, he did not claim for himself that title.
But Abner, you seem to be defending this man, not preparing a case against him.
Oh, have no fear. I'll prosecute once I have the evidence I want. But I'm not going before the Sanhedrin with a case that can't be proved to the very hilt.
But how are you going to get it when you brush aside all these points I've listed?
We must drive him into a position where he'll make a direct statement that will convict him.
Yes, but how?
Now follow this carefully. The man does cast out evil spirits.
Yes, we must admit that. We've seen it with our own eyes.
Which means he has the power which makes evil spirits obey his commands.
Yes, I follow that.
And these cures. And they're not the ordinary kind where a man goes to a doctor, he's treated, weeks later is made well? No, not at all. They are immediate and complete. In short, they indicate a supernatural power. Yes?
Granted.
Therefore, if the effect is supernatural, the cause must be supernatural.
Yes, that follows, but I don't see how...
Well, now, there are two supernatural causes. One good, and the other
evil. I begin to...
And since this man Jesus is a trickster, he can have no good cause behind him.
No, he breaks the Sabbath. He eats and drinks with sinners and publicans. Mm. Why, he has said outright, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Just so. And if he has no supernatural power from God, who is all good, what other source is left?
Evil. He draws his power from Satan.
Precisely. That is the charge we will level at him. He'll either have to admit it, which will destroy his power over the people, or he will have to say that his power comes from God.
You will try to force from him a statement that will be blasphemous.
Yes. That is the clear charge we must have when we go into court. And once we have it, we can ask for the death penalty. Oh, it must be the crowd gathering before Jesus' house. Go out and see what is happening, and report back as soon as possible.
And the young scribe went at once to the place where Jesus was surrounded by a great crowd. They were so many that he was unable to come near enough to hear what was being said by those who were close to Jesus. But he saw an old woman standing on a rock, and she was trying to see above the heads of the people.
Make way, old woman. Let me stand there.
It's my rock. Go find one. Oh, I'm sorry, worthy scribe. 1,000 pardons. I didn't know.
Come, stop apologizing and let me get up. What's going on? Who are those people trying to push closer to Jesus?
Relatives from Nazareth.
Relatives? What do they want?
They've come to persuade him to come back to Nazareth and to live quietly and stop this wandering about with the crowds following him. They fear no good will come of it and may make trouble for them, too. It's said by many that he's gone mad.
Mad, you say? Have they come to put him away?
Oh, I think not. Only to persuade him to cease for his own good.
It would be a good thing if they can persuade him. Tell me, do you know that woman over there, the one standing at the edge of the crowd?
Well, that's Mary, his mother.
You, then, are from Nazareth?
Yes.
Do you know the family well?
Well, I've known them since they came to Nazareth. As for knowing them well, that's hard to say. There was always a sense of mystery about them all. A quiet family who never drew attention to themselves. Until now, of course. Perhaps that's why the relatives are so concerned.
And neither of the parents gave any sign of madness?
What a question. Joseph was a carpenter. He died some years ago. And Mary's a quiet, gentle woman who adores her son. In her eyes, he can do no wrong.
And you, old woman, do you think him mad?
Me? Oh, I'm an ignorant woman who works in the fields. I understand little of what he says. But when he can drive the evil spirit from others, would he not first drive the evil spirit from himself, if he had one?
Physician, heal thyself. Ah, if they came to take Jesus home, they will not succeed. His followers are taking him into the house.
Abner! Abner, you should hear what's happened.
Well, what has happened? What has happened?
There's been a great to-do. Some of Jesus' friends were saying that he is mad.
What?
Yes, yes. And so they went to lay hands on Jesus, evidently to protect him from himself and to get him away from the crowd where he might say things which would get him into trouble.
A trick! They'd like to have him declared bereft so that he can't be held responsible for anything he says or does. Well, it won't work.
Have no fear. Jesus' disciples gathered around him and resisted all attempts to take him. He's now at the house of a friend.
Oh, good. Let us go at once. We want to see what is happening.
Master, they call for you. They give you no rest. I told them you were trying to eat, but they don't listen. They've brought a man possessed with an evil spirit and clamor for you to cure him.
I will go to him.
Keep your eyes open, my young friend, and you'll see something.
Be gone, evil spirit. Leave this good man.
See? His eyes open.
Remarkable. What thing is this? Can this be the son of David?
He commandeth even the unclean spirits. Aye, and they obey him.
Aye, he commands, and the unclean spirits obey. My friends, listen to me. If I am master in a house and I have a servant, when I order him to bring me wine, does he not do so? And if I say to my servant, go, leave the room, does he dispute with me? No, because I am his master.
Of course, learned scribe, he obeys his master.
Now then, when Jesus demands that an evil spirit leave a man, doesn't the evil spirit obey without question?
Right. Of course, we have just seen it. There's no question but Jesus has great power over unclean spirits.
Ah, but from what source comes that power? That is the question.
Where else but from he who commands all unclean spirits, the prince of devils?
He has Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils he casts out devils.
This man does not cast out devils except by Beelzebub.
Master, hear how they charge thee.
Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand.
I am sure history will prove divided kingdoms fall, Rabbi. But that's nothing to do
with... And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges.
Well spoken, Satan can't be against himself. He'd soon be helpless.
But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away his whole armor on which he was depending and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters.
Aye, he's right. One stronger than Satan can overcome Satan. God is more powerful than Satan.
I say if Beelzebub commands the evil spirits, they obey. We've just seen how readily.
Therefore I say to you that every kind of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this world or in the world to come.
Oh,
you brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man from his good treasure brings forth good things. And the evil man from his evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I tell you that every idle word men speak, they shall give account on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou wilt be justified,
and by thy words thou wilt be condemned.
And the crowd stood silent, for fear was in their hearts. And they looked not into each other's eyes, but into the dust. For many had spoken idle words about Jesus. But the men from Jerusalem pressed Jesus, for they were determined to trap him.
And might we not ask where Jesus sends the unclean spirits he orders out of men?
When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through dry places in search of resting place and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place unoccupied, swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. So shall it be with this evil generation also.
Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee.
Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it.
Master, we would see a sign from thee.
A sign
from heaven, Master.
An evil and adulterous generation demands a sign. And no sign shall be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For even as Jonas was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and will condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and will condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
And while Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brethren came, but were unable to approach him because of the numbers. And word was passed along that they were on the edge of the crowd.
Master, thy mother and thy brethren are standing outside seeking thee.
Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?
What can he mean by that kind of...
Wait, he's pointing to those 12 who follow him.
Behold my mother and my brethren, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother.
And Jesus left the crowd and went to the water's edge that he might be alone. But the crowd followed him and gathered about so closely that he got in a boat and sat down. And spoke to them from that place. And many things he spoke to them.
Behold, the sower went out to sow, and some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and ate them up. And other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much earth. They sprang up at once. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell upon good ground, and yielded fruit that grew up, made increase, and produced 130, another 60, and another 100-fold.
Yes, Master?
He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
I don't understand. Of what does he speak?
Well, it is a parable, but what does it mean?
He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Jesus, saddened by the events of the long day, walked to his house. And it was dark, but his disciples, who were puzzled by his words, sought him out, and they gathered around him.
Master, why dost thou speak to them in parables?
To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. To those outside, all things are treated in parables, that seeing they may see, but not perceive, and hearing they may hear, but not understand, lest perhaps at any time they should be converted, and their sins forgiven them.
What might this parable be?
Do you not know this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and those by the wayside are they in whom the word is sown. As soon as they have heard, Satan at once comes and takes away the word that has been sown in their hearts.
And those on the rocky ground?
And those likewise are they who, when they have heard the word, receive it immediately with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but continue only for a time. And then when trouble and persecution come because of the word, they at once fall away.
And those sown among thorns?
Are they who listen to the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires about other things, entering in, choke the word. It is made fruitless. And those who are sown upon good ground are they who hear the word and welcome it and yield fruit, 130, another 60, and another 100-fold.
Now that you speak, all has been made clear, Master.
Is a lamp brought to be put under the measure or under the couch? Is it not rather to be put upon the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be made manifest, nor is anything concealed that will not come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.
We shall obey and listen with our ears and hearts to all that's said to us.
Take heed what you hear. With what measure you measure, it will be measured to you, and more shall be given to you. For to him who has shall be given, and from him who does not have, even that which he has shall be taken away. Oh, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown upon the earth, is the smallest of all seeds upon the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than any herb, and puts out great branches, so that the birds of the air can dwell beneath its shade.
And in many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to his disciples, according as they were able to understand it. But without a parable, he did not speak to others. But privately, he explained all things to his disciples.
Blind the heart of this people, make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I heal them.